have to be right still until the whole crowd ate. My mama always said to me, Jim, take a tater and wait. Now taters never did taste good with chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them just the same. That is why I look so bad and have these puny ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater and wait.
All right, it is Saturday, June 3rd, 2023, and time for another edition of Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Trading Post this evening. I hope everyone's having a wonderful June so far, and a wonderful weekend, and a wonderful Catterday, as we say. Tonight's episode is episode number 27, and is entitled Noticing Patterns with Mr. Casey Whalen. And, of course, many of you know Casey Whalen from, you know, I've done shows with him. He's done shows with, you know, a lot of people in our circles. But anyway, so first off, I want to give a shout-out to Mr. Mike Gaddy, the Rebel Madman, and Mr. Matthew Jacob. We finished up our four-part series yesterday on the secrets of World War II. And so that is, all three parts should be on the RBN archives. And so we were really proud of that. And that was great working with those gentlemen. And I learned a lot. So definitely check that out if you get a chance. Again, it's the secrets of World War II. And it'll be in the RBN archives for the Friday show that Mr. Mike Gaddy does from 6 to 8. So check that out. So anyway, our guest tonight, Mr. Casey Whalen, is from Northern Idaho, and he is doing there what we're doing here in occupied North Kakalaki, basically tracking slime mold and chicken swingers in your local occupied and infected communities. You may not believe they're there, but trust us, they're there, and they're working hard to make you go extinct. He also is known for his Substack, which is Casey Whalen, all one word, and Whalen is CaseyWhalen.substack.com. And his latest is exposing the ongoing Marxist revolution in America. And then another piece of his is United States prepared to target dissident Americans in culture war. And he's the one who informed us all about Operation Blacklisted. And he also is the state assistant for the peoplesright.org, which was created by Mr. Ammon Bundy. And he's also just had a very good interview with political cartoonist Mr. Ben Garrison. So if you haven't checked that out yet, definitely give that a read. That was very good. Now, for the newbies, we'll open up the phone line after the bottom of the first hour break, so you can call in and tell us what you want to talk about, or if you have a question for me or the guests, you know, you're welcome to call in. And that number at Republic Broadcasting Network is 512-248-8252, 512-248-8252, or toll free 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And as always, you can come out to the chat room at the Trading Post, which is bb9tradingpost.chitango.com. That's bb9tradingpost.chitango.com. The sun never set on the North Kakalaki Trading Post chat room. We've got people putting stuff in all hours of the night. And so for the hottest news, the dankest memes, and the best independent living tips, come on out to the chat room at bb9tradingpost.chitango.com. But if you're looking for a knife fight, we'd just as soon you go someplace else. So I wonder what Mr. Casey Whalen wants to talk about tonight. Maybe he wants to talk about the weather. Now, it was nice and sunny here on Blackjack Mountain, getting almost into what it should feel
like around June this time of year, as opposed to the very chilly days we've had that were uncharacteristically cold even for the high country. Or maybe he wants to weigh in on the big Watauga County debate, which is still going on, even though none of the thought leaders in the community are still talking about it. The locals are definitely talking about it, and as are people around the country, which is basically, which was more hateful, angry black man from Atlanta, Tobias M. Jones, going on a Mad Max terror rampage through against white drivers in his semi-tractor trailer truck in New Boone, echo, 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 or some kid waving a swastika flag near the carpetbag Chickerswinger Synagogue of Satan clubhouse. You know, which was more hateful, right? We know what our new carpetbagger thought leaders that are also celebrating Pride Month this month, yeah, what they think about this. But I'd like to know what everybody else thinks about this. Or maybe he wants to talk about our new Kike-Dyke Schaefer Center Family Patient Care Tower there in the new wing of Watauga Hospital. Amazing how all those Jew-owned out-of-state diversity hire construction companies were able to make sure not a single wall plate was straight or parallel to anything, not to mention all the holes in the walls left unpatched and the trim work just left unfinished. You have to try really hard to have wired in something that looks like this. If I had, back before I got blacklisted, if any of my crews put in, you know, those wall plates and things like that in that order, we would not only not get paid, we would have been sued for damages. So tip of the hat to the Kike Dykes invaders that are here to Tikkun Olam, Watauga County, with their ill-spent daddy's billions. And yeah, the question remains, can Watauga County survive Jewish philanthropy, diversity, inclusivity, equity replacement workers? You know, can we survive it? Or maybe he wants to talk about the new Fort Bragg not being Fort Bragg anymore, but now Fort Liberty, because erasing white history is mitzvah. I wonder if Fort Liberty will be just as fake and gay as the Todd Liberty Parade, the Globo Homo Groom Fest for folks who want to be social on the 4th of July holiday weekend, but just hate America and heritage Americans. And they're here to Tikkun Olam, right? Under art, right? Art and ecology. All those NGO groups out there grooming all those college kids. Okay. Or maybe he wants to talk about a federal judge ruling on Friday in Tennessee that the drag show laws are unconstitutional. So here's a Trump-appointed U.S. District Judge, Judge Thomas L. Parker, saying that the drag shows can continue because the law that the people passed, remember how that works, the people passed the law? Well, another activist judge, this time a conservative activist judge, says that it's, you know, unconstitutional. Or maybe he wants to talk about the Sackler family getting immunity from justice for a mere $6 billion for their biochemical war crimes against mainly white Appalachia. That's right, the Bible Belt was the hardest hit by the opioid crisis, but it went through the middle class everywhere between 1999 and 2020, with more than 564,000 people murdered in this fifth-generation warfare offensive, otherwise known as opioid overdoses from your local white coats of Baphomet, right? So anyway, or maybe he wants to talk about how NASCAR, which banned the Confederate flag back in 2020, now embraces the Pride flag. Yes, you know, NASCAR has gone full globo homo, and we wonder which do NASCAR fans find more offensive, the Confederate battle flag or trans pride flags, right? Or maybe he wants to talk about how Mr. Sven Longshanks, a.k.a. Mr. James Allchurch, was just thrown into the chicken shack in the UK for 2.5 years for thought crimes because one of the NGO groups over there found something that they thought they could take to court and make an example out of the lad. And this is just another example of Graham Hart and Alison Chabot 2.0. Or maybe he wants to talk about how Mockingbird Media has declared that there's We're back to nothing happening in Ukraine, and we're also back to nothing happening in Civil War Israel, except maybe the chicken swingers continue to spit upon Christians at the Roman wall that they pretend is part of the old temple. Or maybe he'll just want to talk about fishing. So welcome to the Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack, Mr. Casey Whalen, and tell us, what would you like to talk about tonight?
I'm supposed to follow that. Yeah, that was amazing. Yeah, I got to commend you on your demeanor. I've been listening to you over the last couple of years, and you know, you always have an extremely positive demeanor. You bring a lot of positive energy to what you do, and I just want to say thank you. Because a lot of the stuff is dark and it's ugly and
what is it called, gallows humor? You know, it's like, okay, these are chunky dark bits, but we could have fun with it.
Yeah, you have to. You really
always
have to.
Always look on the bright side.
Yeah. Well, that issue with Sven, that's extremely interesting. I mean, then we have other issues. He's just one of many examples of the crackdown happening over there. That's an unreal story. It's just another example of it really shows us where we really are right now. And those things are being echoed they're starting to be echoed here in the United States. And so that's really what I've been trying to focus on is the cultural Marxist creep and essentially the takeover of local communities, essentially, in North Idaho and the Inland Northwest. And you've been doing the same thing, right? Sounds like you've been exposing like groups there where you are.
Right. That was one of the things that we discovered real early on. I guess it really started hitting us around 2005, 2006, how this new concept of non-government organizations, these not-for-profits and non-profit groups that all had really good sounding names.
Public-private partnerships, right?
I'm sorry?
Public-private partnerships.
Right, and you think, oh, well, they're just out, doing good deeds, so they shouldn't be taxed. They should have a special tax exemption because they're not for profit. We started noticing, though, that these groups had become weaponized. And so one of the tools we learned really early on was the site that was just getting started at the time called Melissa.com, like the girl's name, Melissa. It's like Melissa.com. And at the time, it was completely free. You know, right now, I think they give you a few lookups for free, but you have to pay a membership now. But at the time, it was completely free. And you could put in any zip code. And it would list out every NGO group that was registered in that particular zip code, who was in charge of it, what their books were, because they had to file their taxes, NGO, so they had to make their numbers open. And you just see that the organic NGOs, they had a couple of $100s, maybe a few $1,000s, but all these weaponized NGOs, man, they were like in the millions category, right? And it's like, oh my God, this is a fifth column operating in this zip code. And one of the things I noticed when I checked in New Boone, right now, just in the Boone proper zip code, there are over 240 registered NGO groups just in that one zip code in the county, right, for New Boone.
Is that website still active?
Yes, but like I said, they give you a couple of free trials, okay, lookups. And but then you have to pay to be part of their members or whatever. It's I think it's totally worth it until somebody can tell me something comparable. But man, in 2006, that was just the greatest thing ever to find that tool and share that tool with everybody.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's I think what we should talk about is records requests or how to find these groups. I know Stephen Whitener. He wants to find some of these NGOs, these public-private partnerships. And for instance, in Idaho, the public-private partnerships are mandated by an Idaho state law. So my thinking is if we could somehow get rid of that state law, we'd really kick the stool out from underneath these public-private partnerships that are working with our local governments at a city level, county level, to implement these United Nations ideology that's being
treason, but everybody's compliant because they took over everything at the same time.
Right.
You know, our media.
Well, the building codes that they've been messing with the building codes for over 20 years, and slowly adapting that to be sustainable, quote unquote.
Right.
So I think people have a hunger to find. You know, how does Stephen Whitener, how does he find these groups in his area? I guess Melissa's a good example, right?
Right.
I would suggest, too, if people are kind of, like, curious about an organization, run it through the Secretary of State's office through a business lookup. That can tell you a lot. You can actually also do a search for through the IRS, through an employee identification number. You can actually do a lookup by the business name itself. And that will tell you a lot, especially if they're a 501c3. Mm-hmm. You can find out who's on the board of these organizations by looking up their tax records, and that tells you a lot. But how do you be how are you effective where you are?
Staying alive.
I mean, but how are you exposing what you're finding to the public?
There is such a sleeping curse over this little mountain valley. It's the land of the NPC educated people. Okay. They don't want to know. You know, it's you still can't convince these people that 9/11 truth is a little important. You know, you're a university town. You know, you have an engineering department, you know, that nobody is allowed to talk about this. This should be a warning sign. You know, you're not allowed to talk 9/11 truth on Appalachian State University campus, like you are not allowed to talk Holocaust truth on Appalachian State University's campus, right? You know, our newspaper, the out-of-state Adams Publishing, owned Watauga Democrat, Echo, Echo, Echo. You know, the first thing they did when they bought it up was move in a New York Columbia University, no doubt. You know, Chicken Swinger as the shadow editor that you never see, never has a byline, and he surrounds himself by all these young perky, you know, thought leaders, you know, that are out playing, you know, propagandists, thinking it's cool, you know, because they're, you know, self-hating white people or diversity hires that are there to, you know, demoralize the heritage population and bring in this globo-homo agenda. And so it's just this echo chamber of, you know, the media, the university, and the medical, you know, syndicates. They, like I said, they moved in about 200 people after 9/11 with just bags of cash and just took over the place, and nobody saw it. It was just, the, you know, done right under their noses, as they say.
Yeah, I think there is a huge hunger, though. I noticed in different areas it's different. I mean, for instance, in North Idaho, the people are so hungry for the truth, they created their own media outlets. I've talked about this a little bit on Steven's show the last 2 weeks, but there is this hunger. And if you can hone that hunger and have these people write or do whatever they feel like they can do to promote the truth, then you have an outlet to plug in these things that you're finding, whether it's creating a Telegram group or whatever, but just to try to offer solutions for people to make a difference in their community. And you know, it sounds like it's very tough where you are, but...
But, yeah, that is what we're seeing in the outlying areas. That's where I didn't really finish my thought. But, you know, once you get out of sight of this little echo chamber, though, into the traditional Appalachian Mountains, you know, that's where your people, they're looking for answers. You know, I think one of the byproducts of the COVID lockdowns was everybody was stuck at home with the internet and had questions and once you get into that area of the old heritage, you know, mountains, then yes, you know, people are, you know, they're, you know, not quite to torches and pitchforks yet, but close.
Yeah, I know it seems like that, you know, at this point, maybe there is no solution. Maybe things do have to get worse before they get better, but there's still things that people can do. And I found that just by exercising the heck out of your First Amendment through whatever means possible can make a large difference And even people that are just have been on the sidelines, not like, for instance, in North Idaho, we've had a lot of new independent news outlets pop up. They just create their own URL, and they're creating articles, and they're working with people like mine, because they're just, they don't know what else to do. And it's having a huge effect because the local paper can't keep up with it. I mean, it's very easy for the local citizens to just pick up a story and investigate it and learn how to do that if they don't know how. And they're becoming very successful at it. So it, to me, like, that's a story that needs to be told, that that in North Idaho, there's a lot of really awesome people that are standing in the gap, and they're starting to make a big difference.
Right. And yeah, that whole thing of, you know, the citizen journalist is huge. You know, that's what we need, because, you know, we're, you know, totally overrun with mockingbird sock puppets, you know, that are on the dole to lie to us and hide truth from us. And, you know, so we need that grassroots citizen journalism, you know, out there. And that's why I just love the new media of the internet, is we're allowed to set up all these peer-to-peer networks and exchange information, and then we can take it back to our own areas, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the idea, you know, you find something that works, and it's like suddenly, you know, everybody can use that tool. It's like when we, you know, with Melissa, it's like, oh, my God, this is the best tool ever. You know, everybody needs this in your, you know, your quiver. Yeah, you know, here's
sounds
one
amazing.
Of those tools. Yeah.
I didn't know about that one. I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah. So, you know, you're writing, you know, just amazing, the stuff you write about. And, you know, when did you start your Substack?
Oh, that's more recent. I started out just filming the police as a First Amendment auditor. So I learned my rights. I went through the Idaho National Guard as a combat engineer when I was a kid, 16 through a number of years there doing that. And I learned my rights, and I gained a lot of self-confidence. And then I felt like I needed to try to get the police and the sheriff to understand the rule of law and the Constitution. So I took a stack of constitutions I received from the Idaho Secretary of State's office into the police departments, into the sheriff's departments, for them to educate themselves on the rule of law. Didn't take long for me to find out, because I started doing public records requests after that. This is four or five years ago now, I was disseminated through what's called Regional Intelligence Group 9 out of Spokane County, Washington. And also, this was disseminated through the Washington State Fusion Center. They put out these reports on me, showing pictures of me going into the police stations and the sheriff's department with the stack of constitutions, saying I'm not wanted, but be on the lookout. This guy's filming while he comes in, and he's handing out these constitutions. And so ever since then, I've just been addicted to doing public records requests, and I've public record requested the local Washington State Fusion Center. And we can talk about records requests maybe before the break. I see we skipped a break there. But you want to talk about the records request real quick? Because
yeah, let's go ahead and hit on that while you're
yeah, on. So a couple of things I've been meaning to mention. People have been wanting, at least on Steven's show, desired for us to talk about this. So you need to learn your local law as far as records requests are concerned. In Idaho, it's very generous. They, for instance, they give you the first 2 hours free. And then they charge you, if you want paper copies, you can get the first 200 pages for free, and then they charge you per page. They also will charge you legal fees, essentially for lawyers to look over your records request if they need to, which can incur a lot of additional fees. So essentially the point of saying that is to say that you want to keep your records requests short and concise, and that will help you avoid fees. You also want to request electronic records. And it's very simple to do the records request. You just want to find the entity that you want the records from. So, for instance, if it's through the police department, you'll just contact the police department. And you want to generally try to look through their website, try to find out if they have an online form, because they'll suggest you use that. You can email people in the departments and just ask for the information that you want. You don't necessarily have to cite the state law. But you can if you want to, and there's websites out there that will provide you cover letters by state citing the law and sort of help you flesh out a letter for your records requests. But they can be very informal. A lot of times my records requests are generally just one sentence, a handful of words. And I do a lot of email scrapes So I'll do, I'll ask for a specific email domain. So for instance, the city of Coeur d'Alene, which is at cdaid.org. And then I'll ask for a specific keyword. So I want all email through this email domain for keyword or keywords. And then you specify a date range and you ask for electronic records. That's really it. That's a lot of what I request, and I'm able to find some just really good information. So if you don't understand your state law, you may have some issues initially, and different places operate a little bit differently. But identifying, for instance, you can get 911 audio calls in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, which is Kootenai County. Those you get through the sheriff's department. So in your area, it may be different. Maybe you get audio calls from somewhere else. But what's cool is if you're part of an incident or whatever the case may be, you can get the police report. You can get what's called a CAD report. And a CAD report is basically an automated, it's a text version of an audio call. So I always ask for police reports, CAD reports, and then you can follow up and get the 911 call. Then you have all this information, and sometimes they'll redact a lot of it. But that's really how I get a lot of my information, is just doing the same thing and understanding how, you know, where I get the information from in your community is going to take you a little bit of time to figure out. But once you figure out, you know, record A is here, record B is here, you can record request any public entity, anything that any entity that receives public funding, you can record request. So think about it in that way, because you may find organizations or outlets that you may not otherwise have thought you could record request when in fact you can. So those are a couple pointers, but you want to keep your record request short and concise is what I want to stress to people. You don't want to ask for everything at once.
Right. And, you know, you can tell immediately when you walk in if the person's going to be helpful or not, you know, adversarial. And we always have really good relationships with our record people here. Mm-hmm. And so that's a very good, you know, benefit. And like you were talking about the sheriff's department, we have a good working relationship with the current sheriff. And that is one of the most important elections, you know, having a good sheriff that follows the law and isn't going to sell you out to this, you know, Department of Homeland. You know, you're talking about the fusion centers. You know, that came in from the Patriot Act of setting up these fusion centers, just like the Czech and the NKVD and the Stasi, so that anybody like me or like you that starts asking questions, you know, the Bob boss wants to know, yeah, you've been asking questions about the operation here, you know, we can't have that. And yeah, but that's how this whole system is set up. And you just have to realize that, well, you know, it's got to be done. And, you know, I've got to learn how to play smart. And so, you know, by following the paper trail and, you know, getting these people's names and these organizations and where their funding's coming from, what their objectives are, you know, this is part of the public record, you know, so make use of these tools. Our founding fathers put this in place for a reason, you know.
Yeah, it's there for you to view. And, you know, your hunch can become a public record request. That's something I kind of realized recently. A lot of my hunches turn into records requests. You know, I assume, okay, this is probably, like, well, for instance, with Operation Blacklisted, I knew that our city prosecutor's office was prosecuting Patriot Front because it happened in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And I knew that this gentleman from this Task Force Butler organization was sending these reports to prosecutors across the country. So to give these prosecutors ideas on how to prosecute Patriot Front. So I knew he gave it to our city prosecutor. So all I just did a record request for all email through this the prosecutor's email address, essentially, for keyword blacklisted for the date range I suspected. And I got the Operation Blacklisted report right away. So it's amazing once you learn how to do this. Not hard.
Right, and we will have to follow up on Operation Blacklisted after the break. So anyway, we're going into break right now. So you're listening to Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack with our guest, Mr. Casey Whalen. And we'll be back after these messages.
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
Yeah, my book has got a hole in it. Yeah, my book has got a hole in it. Yeah, my book has got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer. Well, I'm standing on the corner with a bucket in my hand. I'm waiting for a woman. It ain't got no man, 'cause my bucket's got a hole in it. Yeah, my bucket's got a hole in it. Yeah, my bucket's got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer.
And we're back. You are listening to Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn. I'd like to welcome everyone back to the Trading Post this evening. Hope everyone's having a wonderful night and enjoying the show. I know I am. If you want to call in, we're going to open up the phone lines. You can call in at 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252 or toll free 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And as always, please, please, please remember to support Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth. You are not going to hear a show like this on any Chicken Swinger owned media outlet. You know, we have to have independent media out there so a crazy old mountain man like myself can actually exercise his First Amendment rights and get away with it, right? So please support RBN any way you can. So our guest tonight is Mr. Casey Whalen, and he was talking about the blacklisted operation. So you want to continue with that?
Sure. And the reason there's a story that I wrote also in the flare of the Hegelian dialectic, using North Idaho as an example after the arrest of Patriot Front. And that article is on my Substack, which is called United States Prepares to Target Dissenting Americans in Culture War. And I basically highlight how these organizations in Coeur d'Alene and the surrounding areas are orchestrating and trying to get the state and federal government essentially cracked down on domestic terrorism. And of course they would consider that white nationalism and Christianity essentially. So I basically lay out chronologically in this article that arrest, what's coming down the line essentially. And then to find out about this organization called Task Force Butler that's selectively sending their report, and they came on the scene two months or so before the arrest of Patriot Front on June 11th, 2022. So their business entity was created through the state of Delaware in April of 2022. And then magically, I'd say about 3 months after the arrest of Patriot Front, they have this report called Operation Blacklisted that they're already shopping to the New Hampshire Attorney General. I have records requests coming from there for emails from this gentleman who runs this organization called Task Force Butler. It's named after Smedley Butler, and essentially he's considered I guess he's being called the neo-Nazi hunter. This guy was in the army, and essentially he's an MSNBC shill. And he just spoke yesterday at an event called TrueCon with Jamie Raskin, Rachel Maddow. So just to give you a flavor of what this guy's up to. But he sent this report to our local city prosecutor's office in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And again, it's called Operation Blacklisted. And essentially it's pretty defamatory as far as Patriot Front is concerned. And it lays out, it gives prosecutors across the country, it states all the Idaho state law and federal law as to the various things that they can prosecute Patriot Front for. So to me, this is a huge red flag, because it looks to me like this gentleman, Chris Goldsmith, who runs this Task Force Butler, is the face of it, but he's not a lawyer. And then he's putting out these reports, working with, as he states, volunteers to create these reports that are urging prosecutors to bring on additional charges in the case of Patriot Front. So I sent you the copy of the Operation Blacklisted report. Maybe you can put that in your show notes, because I'd like people to be able to see this. This is something that, you know, they didn't post on their website. If you're part of the media, you know, the media that they consider media, they'll give you a copy of it. But I think it's important for people to see this, because I think essentially this is a template for them to create additional reports or additional groups that will do like things to go after patriots who are going against the culture war.
And that's the thing people have to get their head around, is you've got these self-righteous zealots out there like this guy. I mean, I was just shocked. It reminded me of that really bad show they did called the Nazi Hunters or whatever. And but these people, they are zealots. They think they are fixing the world to Kun Olam, and they have to do, blot out Amalek. And the only problem with that is you find out that you're Amalek in their eyes, right? And so your entire way of life, your culture, is what they want to destroy so that they can bring in their New World Order that never ever works. This communist system never ever works. It's like, but this time for sure. But I mean, this, the zealotry and the way that it reinforces it is like, Patriot Front is bad by default. you know, and it's just like anybody who went to Charlottesville, you know, oh, they're just bad by default, according to, you know, MSNBC, Rachel Maddow and the like. And, you know, you think how many of those people got tracked down, you know, and had their lives destroyed, just like after, you know, 9/11, how many of us in the, you know, communication industry got targeted. It's like, okay, these people are asking questions. They can't be in secure areas anymore. And, you know, I went from, you know, giving lectures to NSA, military intelligence, naval intelligence, FBI, to living out of my car in a tent. You know, it's just these people are playing hardball. And I think it's hard for people to get their head around, you know, that we're at war. It's just a different kind of war. So what's your take on that?
Yeah, and I mean, the arrest of Patriot Front, they arrested for conspiracy to riot. They were only a block away from the downtown Coeur d'Alene area. I filmed it, actually. I happened to be there. Right before I filmed it, it's funny, we have a human rights education institute right downtown Coeur d'Alene next to the Coeur d'Alene Park, where this Pride in the Park event was happening on June 11th of last year, where Patriot Front was going to, you know, they're going down there to do whatever they were going to do. And there's a stone tablet outside of the Human Rights Education Institute, and it's the preamble to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And they're an integral part of a lot of this. I mean, a lot of these groups, like the Human Rights Education Institute, the Kootenai County Human Rights Task Force, it goes on and on. There's multiple groups in the area all doing the same thing, you know. And so that was just interesting to see this tablet right in front of this Human Rights Education Institute. And then to go film the arrest of Patriot Front is kind of funny. But, you know, that's the main goal. That's why they're pushing all this, is because of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And just really quickly, if I can mention, because this is really interesting, that's the, you know, they're pushing sustainable development, the 17 sustainable development goals. But this is interesting. There's seven words that are in the Bill of Rights that are not in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And these groups are promoting, they'll say, the Constitution and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. But as we know, they're not synonymous. You know, the Constitution identifies your God-given rights, and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, they're given to you by unelected bureaucrats, essentially. But the seven words that are in the Bill of Rights that are not in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights are petition, probable cause, trial by jury, due process, unreasonable searches, excessive bail, and free state. So that's something that James Yeager put out in a documentary he did called Unsustainable. And it's very, very, very telling, you know, as far as pushing this human rights agenda.
And it's interesting when you look at the history of that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't that Eleanor Roosevelt's, FDR's wife?
Yep.
Wasn't that her pet project after World War II to establish this Universal Declaration of Human Rights, you know, to establish this baseline of quality? And there was such a pill-pull Kabbalistic spell between Article 9 and Article 10, which basically they negate each other when it comes to freedom of speech. You know, you can have freedom of speech, but it just can't be hurtful speech kind of thing. You know what I'm talking about? It's just, yeah. And then you know, the lying by omission, because like you said, your God-given rights are not enumerated in this Universal Declaration of Human Rights at all. You know, so that's that lying by omission thing. But I always thought it was interesting that that was, you know, Eleanor Roosevelt's big push, you know, after the war. So had you heard that before?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, what's your take on, you know, how this network, these people are networked and financed, how we can use, you know, a means to defund them? I always talk about using our soft power. You know, people always want to escalate to hard power, but I think, yeah, that's what they want us to do. That's the obvious reaction. Can we do this with soft power? So the idea of, you know, just strangling this system, defunding it, if we can get, you know, the population to call these people out that, you know, these people are deliberately doing harm to the community. You know, these so-called community leaders are actually, you know, traitors. You know, how do we approach that, do you think?
Yeah, it looks like you have a caller too, but yeah. For instance, in North Idaho, that people are definitely standing up. I'm noticing people organically just talk about boycotting events, for instance, that are participating in funding the North Idaho Pride Alliance's Pride in the Park event this year. They didn't, from what I understand, they didn't have as many sponsors this year because of the blowback from last year after they had a drag queen dance party. And if you go look at my Substack article, again, called United States Prepares to Target Dissenting Americans in Culture War, I show you a screenshot of a video that we have uncensored, which I'm sure people don't want to see, but it shows us a drag queen person exposing themselves, essentially, and you can kind of see, private parts, let's just say. And there were kids there, and then a friend of mine, actually, who has her own media outlet, Summer Bushnell, she was sued for defamation by this person because the city prosecutor did not charge them for exposing themselves to children. So they were able to, I believe it was a successful lawsuit against somebody who just reported that they exposed themselves to kids, but yet because they didn't charge this person, they were held liable for saying what was true, but not, ironed out in a court of law. So anyways, it's just
interesting to see how the energy of this year's Pride compares to last year's.
Yeah.
And you see people that were starting out and then pull back, like the U.S. military. They changed their, icons on Twitter, social media immediately. They started out with rainbow flags and then they went, nope, we're going to change that. So, NASCAR, doing their big thing, it's like, that's not going over well at all,
Yep.
So anyway,
just keep it up. Just keep it up.
And so people are waking up because they're getting so irritated with this minority. But anyway, Mr. Producer, could we have Mr. James in Vancouver? Mr. James, are you there, good sir?
Yes, sir, I am. How are you boys doing?
Good. Happy Saturday.
Yeah. Hello to all you chicken swingers out there. Hey, listen, this Coeur d'Alene deal, I've been hearing about this. This is Northern Idaho. May I ask, is someone trying to take the land? Is that the issue here?
I think it's just the agenda, essentially. Like, for instance, like I mentioned, the Kootenai County Human Rights Task Force and the Human Rights Education Institute, and we can go on and on and on, but they all have the same goal. They're working with regional, national networks, which I've documented through my records request, and working with Vicki Davis. We've exposed a lot of that. So I think it's honestly, there's a culmination. It depends on what issue you're talking about. I mean, even our local college, North Idaho College, this Kootenai County Human Rights Task Force essentially fomented trying to get their accreditation revoked so that they could probably make it more in line with their ideology. There's so many topics. I wouldn't say it's necessarily about land, but that could, depending on the issue, be part of it.
We'll see,
and there are a lot of Christians and white nationalists moving to North Idaho, and they hate it.
Right.
So,
well, they're with that North Carolina Appalachian situation you have there. What I would be inclined to do is to set up a trust. In other words, it could be called the Preservation of the Appalachian Hills. To maintain the history, blah, 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 something like that. And I speak on that because, for example, the Guggenheims set up a trust for their artwork where their art can appreciate every year and they don't have to pay tax on it because, they don't own it. It's in trust. For the beneficiaries of the trust, you see. Since it's not owned at common law or statute, no tax needs to be paid, and interest on the art, of course, accrues every year. So if I were in North Carolina right now, near where Blackburn is, this is what I would attempt to do. And then the trust could take donations, and the books on the trust could be opened. People could look at it, and that's one way to fight common law and statute, is the creation of trusts. Back to you.
That's a great call. Mr. Whalen, what do you think?
Well, I don't know specifically about your situation there, but that sounds interesting.
Well, what's interesting is that's what we've been working towards for the past couple of years, is trying to set up a trust so that this, especially this piece of property, we don't want it to end up in this UN Agenda 21 Blue Ridge Conservancy outfit that has surrounded us.
Gotcha.
They talk about a weaponized NGO. Oh, my. This is Rockefeller money. You know? Yep. And they've got us by.
Have you talked to Tom DeWeese at all?
No.
Of the American Policy Center? You should get a hold of him. Like, I'll get you his info.
Okay.
He might be able to help you out.
Yeah, I really appreciate that.
So
the trust, great call, block. Mr. James.
If you put
anything
that
else?
Land in trust, okay, before they try to expropriate it, then they cannot expropriate it. See?
Right. So
alrighty,
great. I'm glad that we're thinking on the same page here. Good call. All right. You have a good weekend now. Thanks. You know, one of the things about this is, it's that 5G warfare, 4G, 5G warfare, where it's full spectrum. You've got some NGOs that are trying to basically save the land by taking the heritage families that have had this land since colonial times, and putting it into these trusts that say, oh, that land can never have a business on it again. You can never farm that land again. You can't dig a well on that land. You can't build anything on that land. And so, this is what they're trying to do here, but it's philanthropy. And then other groups, like this, Boonshine Brewery that came in, built this multi-million-dollar outfit, and it's a recruiting center, but they have all these NGOs that are just bringing in busloads of all those people coming across the border in Texas and, New Mexico and Arizona, that is coming across, bussing them into Greensboro, then bussing them up here. And they've got all these NGO church, and a lot of it are associated with churches because they're getting money for this. This is, this NGO, it's definitely a money go-round, of all these groups feeding all these other groups with all this dirty, ill-gotten money. Then bringing them in, setting them up in housing, getting the kids in school, getting them driver's license, you name it, getting them registered to vote. And it's just the Kalergi plan and the Cloward-Piven plan, because this infrastructure up here isn't designed for it. Mm-hmm. And so we're completely overcrowded right now. So what's your take on that?
Yeah, and that's happening, of course, all over the country. I'm currently in the state of Montana, and I've been extremely frustrated trying to do public records here, because it's not as easy as Idaho. Their laws are very vague. The problem is endemic as far as North Idaho and Western Montana. People are flooding to the area, and it's muddying the waters for everybody else, essentially. So, and what do we do about it? I don't know. All I can think of doing is trying to expose it, and I was going to mention while you're talking about that is people should just look up some of these groups through your states or whatever state you suspect they originate from, their Secretary of State's office, and even, like I said, the IRS and their employee identification number lookup, because if you can find some of their tax records, you can find who's on their board, and it'll just tell you a lot, and it's really easy to do. I would suggest that.
Exactly.
I don't know what else you do.
Well, the other thing is just seeing that, you have one person that's associated with four or five NGO groups at some level. That's the other aspect of this is, this person was exposed, you'd see that they've got, these several different NGO networks that they've established. Mr. Producer, can we have Mr. Andy in Texas, please? Mr. Andy, are you there, sir?
All right. Hey, gentlemen, can you hear me?
Yes. Happy Saturday.
All right. Hey, thanks for taking my call, fellas. Interesting conversation. But, the one thing that everybody's forgetting is that we just showed up here. Mom and Dad did bring us here. Mom and Dad brought those people here. And Mom and Dad from them brought these people. But we all just showed up here. And so what is already created was created. And so we've got this land of the same people running the show from the get-go. The ones who created our little society are still creating it. They're the ones who are landscaping our next, our future and all this stuff. And so we're living in the land of Oz, so to speak. Because when you were born here, you came into one matrix. The creator brought you on a planet that already had its matrix. He already knew what you wanted to do, or she already knew, whatever. They already knew what you should be doing. And then all of a sudden, here comes the humans. Humans, they created another matrix. And now we're all stuck on stupid in that matrix. And what's really funny is that stupid is the operative word there. We could get smart in a heartbeat and get out of this thing. But they've done such a well job of keeping us stuck on stupid that we can't get out of it. Am I making sense?
Oh, absolutely. Good point. Yes. Well, so what do you think, Mr. Casey?
Yeah, we are stuck in the land of Oz. That's right. The administrative state is I won't use an expletive, but yeah, that's true. It's well spoken, Andy.
Yeah, and I always use the term GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. And you know, my big thing was learning that I went to government school, primary, secondary education, went to college, went to university, you know, was an avid media person, right? And there was so much that I was never told, all those things left out. And then what I was told wasn't exactly all true. So this forms your worldview. And I think we've got this acceleration now, thanks to the internet, of people leveling up and unlearning a lot and seeing a more accurate picture. It's like the scene in The Wizard of Oz when Toto, pulls the curtain back and everybody sees the wizards. I think we're exposing the wizard network now. What do you think, Andy?
Well, hey, on this particular point, if you're going to pull the curtain back on the wizard, then you got to realize what the wizard is. It's just a guy with a megaphone telling you a whole bunch of crap. It's not going to happen. So let's do the same thing with America here. Let's pull the camera back. Let's pull everything back. We saw a bumbling Joe Biden falling down because he tripped and this and that and the other. What a laughable thing. But doesn't it tell you straight up that person is not running our show? He's not even close to running our show. So that gets us closer to reality here, okay? There is a deep state. There is a deep state. Something is running our flipping show. It's the CFR. It's the Trilateral Commission. It's all these things, all these different things put together, and it's all Rockefeller and Rothschild.
Right.
And it always boils back down to those people.
All right, Greg, we are out of time. That's some excellent points. We're going to give Mr. Whalen the last couple of minutes to wrap up, tell everybody where you can find him. So, Mr. Andy, thanks for the great call, and you have a great weekend,
sir.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks, Andy.
So, Mr. Casey, got like 2 minutes to go. So, what do you think?
Yeah,
where do we go from here?
Thanks for calling in, Andy. Good to hear you, Andy. Always appreciate hearing from you. I'm on Substack, Casey Whalen. That's Whalen, CaseyWhalen.substack.com. I've been writing about the Marxist Revolution unfolding in North Idaho, and I just had lunch with Ben Garrison, like he mentioned, a couple days ago, and I just wanted to ask him a couple questions, maybe 10 minutes, and he told me a long story. It was like almost an hour long, and we just basically put it all in an article so people can learn about Ben Garrison. A lot of people really like Ben, and he's an awesome man, and kind of dealing with some life things right now, so say a prayer for the guy. And go check out the article. It's called Artist Ben Garrison Versus the Troll Army, and he talks about how his arch nemesis Andrew Anglin of the Daily Stormer sent a troll army after him in Big Fork, Montana. Essentially, he had
That's a great
It's an interesting story. It's interesting.
So Mr. Casey Whalen from Idaho, thank you so much, good sir. I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend. Until next time, I will see you all at the rendezvous.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.